You may be thinking about getting an epidural, but aren't sure what it actually involves. Maybe you've heard it's amazing. Maybe you heard it can slow things down. Maybe you're just confused by all the competing information out there. Well, don't worry. I got you. I'm going to clear things up with five things you really need to know before deciding about an epidural. Welcome to the Birth with Power podcast, where knowledge is power and power transforms birth. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway-Rankins, mom of two and practicing board-certified OBGYN with over 20 years of experience and nearly 2,000 births attended. I've seen firsthand how the hospital system can leave women feeling unheard and uncertain, but that doesn't have to be your story. Here, you'll get the knowledge, support, and strategies to take charge of your birth experience so you can walk into the hospital feeling calm, confident, and empowered. Note, this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not a substitute for medical advice. See the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm so glad you're spending some time with me today. If you are listening to this podcast, you are most likely planning a hospital birth, and chances are high that you're wondering about an epidural or whether or not you should get one. Or maybe you're planning an unmedicated birth but are open to an epidural and just want to know the real deal about getting one. Well, whether you're 100% sure or totally on the fence, today's episode is going to help you feel more informed and confident. I am sharing five essential things to know about epidurals, and not just the medical stuff, but the kind of real life insight that comes from an OBGYN who's been in practice for over 20 years and has seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of labors with an epidural. This info will help you actually make a decision you feel good about. So let's get into it. Okay, so let's start with what an epidural is before we hop into the five things to know. An epidural is a type of regional anesthesia, meaning it blocks pain in a specific area of the body. In this case, generally from the abdomen down. It's given through a small catheter placed, or the medication, I should say, is given through a small catheter placed in your back in the epidural space around the spine. And the first thing I want you to know is this. An epidural is the most effective form of pain relief, but it is not magic. Most women will get major relief from contractions with an epidural. I honestly can't recall anyone saying they regret getting an epidural when they have an epidural that is really working great. But the truth is, epidurals are not perfect and they don't always work great. Sometimes epidurals do not take away all the pain. There may be what's called hot spots, which are areas where you still feel pain or discomfort. Sometimes epidurals work more on one side than the other, so your pain relief is uneven. Sometimes they don't work at all and they need to be replaced, and even then, after it's replaced, it still may not work. Epidurals are not guaranteed. I've unfortunately seen a lot of women be shocked or even angry when their epidural doesn't work as expected because they just didn't realize that it was a possibility. So yes, epidurals work great for most women. They can be absolutely amazing, but sometimes they're not. And you have to be prepared for that possibility. Okay, number two, timing around an epidural matters. Epidurals take time. You need to have an IV in place. You also need to get a bolus of IV fluids. That's basically like a quick infusion of fluids to help keep your blood pressure from dropping after the epidural is placed. Then the anesthesiologist has to be available to come place the epidural, and they may be in surgery or, depending on the time of day, have to come in from home. So you should expect that it will be at least about 30 minutes from when you ask for the epidural to when the epidural is actually placed, and then another 10 to 15 minutes before the pain relief kicks in. Now let's talk about timing in terms of how far along you are in labor when you get an epidural. We used to say you had to be a certain number of centimeters dilated before you could get an epidural, but that is not true or necessary. You can truly ask for an epidural whenever you want. This can come into play during like a long labor induction. I'm not kidding. I once had a patient ask for an epidural after one strong contraction during an induction. She had one strong contraction and that was it. She said, I want my epidural. That was her choice and we supported that. On the flip side, you can actually get an epidural even if you're completely dilated at 10 centimeters. Now, it can be harder to place at that point. It can be harder to sit still for the epidural, and there may not be enough time for it to take. Too often in medicine, women get pushed to the sidelines, especially during pregnancy. Clinical studies skip over us. And yes, that includes prenatal vitamins. Many on the market have never been tested in pregnant women at all. That's why I like Rituals Essential Prenatal. It's not just another vitamin. It's the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. As an OBGYN with a background in research, that matters to me. Ritual's formula is traceable, third-party tested, and made with nutrients your body can actually absorb. Plus, it's made to be easier on the stomach. If you are growing a baby, you deserve more than guesswork. Don't settle for less than evidence-based support. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/Dr. Nicole. Start Ritual or add Essential Prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Dr. Nicole for 25% off. Full effect, but in many cases, an epidural can still be attempted at 10 centimeters and successfully placed for great pain relief. And then a couple other things about timing. Your epidural will last the duration of your labor. It doesn't run out. And having an epidural may lengthen your labor by a tiny bit, but only by about 30 minutes or so at the most. Okay, number three, epidurals come with some risk, but most are rare and treatable. Epidurals are generally very, very safe, but like any medical procedure, there are some risks you should be aware of. Some of the more common side effects include a drop in your blood pressure, which can sometimes cause your baby's heart rate to drop temporarily. You may feel shaking or feel cold, and then you can have pretty intense itching from the medication at times. The drop in blood pressure and the itching can usually be addressed pretty easily with medications. The shaking, though, that one is a little trickier. There's not much we can do to stop the shaking medically. We're not sure what causes it. And weirdly enough, if you stick your tongue out, the shaking stops, but only while your tongue is out. I do not know why, but it works. It is hard, obviously, to keep your tongue out all the time, but it can provide some nice temporary relief from the shaking. There's also a rare risk of a spinal headache, which can happen if the needle goes a little too far and punctures the wrong layer. If that happens, it can cause a really bad headache, but it is treatable. And then in some cases, there may be a short-term delay with breastfeeding after birth. It doesn't happen to everyone, and it usually resolves quickly. Skin-to-skin contact after birth definitely helps with that. But again, it is something for you to be aware of. Okay, number four, there's no such thing as a walking epidural, but you should still be able to move, and you still should move. Once you get an epidural, yes, you will be confined to the bed, but that does not mean you're totally immobilized. You still should be able to labor in different positions, like lying on your side. You should still be able to use a peanut ball to help open up your pelvis. You can even try hands and knees with support from your nurse and your partner. We can do spinning babies positions or other movement techniques to help your baby rotate and move down into a great position for birth. So you should still be moving even with an epidural. And let me talk real quick about a term you may have heard, something called a walking epidural. Well, the reality is there is no such thing. The name makes it sound like you'll be strolling around the room in the hallway with an epidural, but most women do not have enough strength or sensation in their legs to walk safely once an epidural is placed and that medication takes effect. But what is true is that we can adjust the dose of the medication, especially during pushing, so you have more sensation and more mobility. That is what we're aiming for, that sweet spot where contractions aren't painful, but you can still feel enough pressure to push effectively and stay connected to your body. Okay, number five, epidurals do not increase your chances of having a cesarean. Let's clear up that one big myth. They don't increase your risk of having a cesarean birth. That used to be a concern, but large, well-designed studies have debunked that idea. Now, what is true is that epidurals can increase the chance of needing an assisted vaginal birth with a vacuum or forceps. And that's because if the medication is too strong, you might not feel the urge to push, which makes it harder to push effectively. So again, work with your care team to adjust the dose of the medication near the end of labor. You still want to feel something when it's time to push, ideally pressure, but not pain. When you feel something, that can really help you stay connected and push a lot more effectively. Okay, now if you want to dive deeper into all of your options for managing pain in labor, check out my labor pain management playbook. It breaks down every method of pain relief, unmedicated options, IV pain medicines, nitrous oxide, and includes tools, images, reflection prompts, and more so you can figure out what feels right for you. You can grab it totally free at drnicolerankins.com/labor. So that is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening today. If this episode helped you, share it with a friend and hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And remember, these Thursday episodes are only for subscribers. And if we're not connected yet, come follow me on Instagram at Dr. Nicole Rankins. My DMs are open. I love to hear from you. Podcast ideas, suggestions, what you think of an episode, or just come and say hi. Again, I love to hear from you. And then do me that one last favor and come on back next week. And remember to trust your power, take charge of your birth.